Remain standing. If you have a Bible, go with me to the book of Zechariah, the 6th chapter. Good Lord, that girl's anointed. Dude, how do you stand it, man? He like, I'm just blessed. I don't know, bro. I don't know. Tell you. My God, my God, my God, my God. Woo. Hallelujah. I'm sorry, man. I could have just laid on the floor right there. Right there, right there, right there, right there. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm excited because I'm going to share this with you, and I promise I'm going to preach, and we're going to get out of here. I promise. And you ain't stood up that long, so calm down. But I love it when the Lord uses me, without my knowledge or without foreknowledge. And I always look for that window, and I try to teach and train ministry leaders to look for that space where the Spirit of the Lord is. Don't assume what God is going to do. And I was in Louisville, Kentucky, as I said, Friday night and Saturday. And I preached this message called The Sound of a New Season. But I did not know they had this Sunday, and the church is probably pandemonium right now, but this Sunday they were all wearing t-shirts that said The Sound of 7. Because they were celebrating 7 years. And what I preach was that, I'm not preaching that right now, but it's relevant. And what I was saying was, whenever God enters you into a new season, a sound always precedes it. He never lets you go into a new season without a distinctive sound. And you can find that all throughout the Bible. When Jericho was, it wasn't about Jericho. It was about the 7 years that Israel was about to enter into, where walls would come down, kings would be conquered, sun would stand still, so forth and so on. And that happened for 7 years, where they had complete and total victory for 7 years straight. And that was preceded by a sound that the people had to choose to shout. When the day of Pentecost came and the church was about to be birthed, not conceived, but birthed. Y'all ain't said nothing in here. It was preceded by a sound. There came a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house. And this morning I woke up, I laid my head down around 3:30 this morning. I woke up at 4:45 and got up and began to say, God, where's our sound at? Because I know we're in new season. And God brought Sharon this morning. Y'all ain't said nothing. And she brought in that. She just brought in our sound. So look at your name and say, get ready for a new season. Get ready for a new season. I want to preach this morning, and I'm going to do it in the best time frame I can. I don't make any promises. Zechariah, the 6th chapter. If you cannot find Zechariah in your Bible, find Haggai. If you can't find Haggai, if you will, then find the book called Malachi. It's Malachi. Y'all ain't said nothing. And if you can't find Malachi or Haggai, go to the table of contents. Y'all ain't said, and look up Zechariah, Old Testament prophet Zechariah. If you turn to the back of the Old Testament, you'll find him somewhere in the middle there between the minor prophets. Zechariah, the 6th chapter. And I want to get us to verse, if you will. We'll get down to verse 12, and verse 13 is where we're going to end up at. But for the sake of context and also content, I want you to see how we arrive to this place. Zechariah, the 6th chapter, verse 1 declares this. Then I turned, I'm reading from the New King James Version. Then I turned and raised my eyes and looked. Somebody shout, look again, look again. And behold, four chariots were coming from between two mountains. The mountains were mountains of bronze. With the first chariot was the red horse, the second black horse, the third chariot white horse. The fourth chariot was a spotted horse, if you will. They were strong steeds. And I asked the Lord that was talking to me, the angel that was talking to me, I said, "What are these, my Lord?" Verse 5, and the angel answered and said to me, "These are four spirits of heaven who go out from their station before the Lord of all the earth." Now let's get us down to verse 12. Then the Bible says, "Then speak to him, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the branch, from his place he shall branch out. He shall build the temple of the Lord. He shall build the temple of the Lord. He shall bear the glory. It shall sit and rule on his throne, and he shall be a priest on his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both." I want to read it one more time. "Behold, the man who is the branch, from this place he shall branch out." Shout, "I'm about to branch out." "He shall build the temple of the Lord." Shout, "I'm about to build." "He shall bear the glory." Shout, "I'm about to bear the glory." "And the council of peace is going to be between both of them." Father, we thank you for the reading of the word of the Lord. We thank you for its purpose and its intention. For the word of God is quickening and makes to come alive because it is alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Its purpose is to divide asunder soul from spirit and be a discerner of the intentions of the heart. Father, speak such a word to us today that it changes our very nature and that it causes us to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus, and that it transforms us by the renewing of our minds. Touch our hearts so it's open to receive the word, and on our ears that we're able to hear it. Father, the most important thing today is that you have your way. Do whatever it is you want to do. This is your house. We are your people. My selfish prayer request today is that no one leaves this place the way they came, but that we're all changed by your power, and we'll give you all the glory and honor for it. And the church said, amen. Come on, look at your neighbor. Smile as bright as you can. Show them everything God has blessed you with. This is Baltimore, so you know Gold Teeth is going to be involved. And say, you better look again. You better look again. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to preach this morning, if you will, in two veins. And if you will allow me, I think I can do it in 20 minutes if your hallelujah isn't broken. But I gotta get us to this place because there is about to be an emergence. Look at your neighbor and say, an emergence, an emergence. An emergence, if you will, by definition, is when something that was not so much hidden, but when something was, if you will, total and complete construction, but not visible to plain view. In other words, it is when systems, if you will, begin to be created, and they are created by large entities that are interacting in such a way that they become obsolete. And when they become obsolete, they give birth to something that was on the inside of them, and they did not know it was there. When an emergence takes place, it is almost as if you step out on nothing, and then something appears, a doorway, an entryway for you to be able to walk through to get to another dimension. Imagine, if you will, if you were stepping out on the water like Peter, and when you stepped out on the water, you didn't know that it was even possible for it to happen. And the only reason that it became a possibility was because he saw somebody out there already. In other words, when he saw the Lord, he said, "If that's you, Lord, bid me to come." And God bid him to come. When you have an emergence, you have to understand there's a sense of urgency behind it. So it comes in an accelerated fashion. This is how we get the word emergency. Because when you get to know that something is coming into view and it's going to become a problem, you have to move with urgency. In other words, it is when you begin to outgrow, if you will, all of the pain and all of the struggle and all of the dilemma of the system you were in, and you're getting rushed to your place of healing, getting rushed to your place of freedom, getting rushed to your place of deliverance. Am I talking to anybody in here? I know we're in an Old Testament subject, and I know it's probably hard for you to grasp, so I'm going to lay the framework for you. And as I speak in twofold this morning, or with dual purpose, I'm speaking, if you will, prophetically, but I'm speaking in the dual purpose of vision and purpose. Can you say vision and purpose? When we understand this, the prophet, if you will, Zechariah, whose name means the Lord remembers. You better get in this room with me. The Lord remembers. And he reminds the people of Israel that God indeed remembers his covenant with them, and that he's going to fulfill his part of it if the people will only perform their part. Look at your name and say vision and purpose. Haggai, if you will, was a contemporary of Zechariah. And like Haggai, he had to call the people to finish the work of rebuilding what God wanted built. He saw their lethargy as Haggai did, but instead of being angry and trying to chastise the people, he encouraged them by painting a mental picture, if you will, of how it was going to impact their future. In other words, he got the people from the place of worshiping the Lord from a sense of memory and begin to worship the Lord and serve the Lord from a sense of imagination. It is one thing to think about the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for you, but it's another thing to praise him for the future that's yet to be created. I'm not suggesting to you that you don't thank God for what he has done. As a matter of fact, you better keep that in your memory bank. You better thank him every day of your life that he has brought you a mighty long way. But you can't stay in that place of comfort, because to remember what God has done then leaves you in the place of not stepping out in faith for something new. And when you don't step out in faith for something new, the Bible says without faith it is impossible to please the Lord. Touch your neighbor and say, he's already preaching to me. Yes, he is. What I'm trying to tell you, if you are stuck in the place of your past and you are comfortable with what God has done, I'm about to shake you and shift you in your spirit so that you become uncomfortable and begin to believe God for what he can do. You have to understand that faith is going to be required to move in this new season. You cannot rely on all the stuff that happened in the past, but you have to stay on that razor's edge of your present future. Zechariah was able to paint that picture for them because he was able to get a vision from the Lord. And as he got this vision, the Bible lets us know that one of the key words in the Bible is vision. Somebody shout vision. Come on here. Zechariah sees 8 visions between chapters 1 and 6. But while he was a man of many visions, if you will, he only kept to one priority. In other words, all of the visions that God showed him was going to result in one purpose. In other words, he wasn't scattered brain. He wasn't trying to do everything but not accomplishing anything. He was not a jack of all trades and a master of none. He had one purpose and one intent. One thing have I desired, and that will I seek after. And so he was a man of purpose, but at the same time, he was a man of vision. And it was in this vision that, if you will, that God was able to show him in this compelling vision that the people had to act at this moment. And so he was able to paint a picture that was going to rock the people and serve to ignite them to finish what God had already started. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm about to finish what the Lord has already started. For the Bible, you are not even here with me. You're looking around like I am. Yes, yes, yes. The Bible says that he that has begun a good work in you shall bring it to completion. What I'm trying to tell you prophetically is he's going to use you to do it. You don't hear what I'm saying. Look at your neighbor one more time and say, I'm about to finish what God has already started. The second phrase we have in the book of Zechariah is purpose. Purpose is another key word. The prophet feels the need, if you will, will to remind the people of a higher purpose to which they had been called. He's reminding them that they have to recapture the testimony of Christ. He's trying to let them know that with all the vision that they have and all the endeavors in their heart, if they don't keep Christ as their central focus, everything can fall apart. For this whole thing is built upon the foundation of that cornerstone, that Jesus, if you will, is our high priest, and having been touched with the feeling of our infirmities, knows everything that we're going through. Moreover, he's paid the ultimate price for you and I, and given us complete and total victory over sin, death, and sickness, and is now seated as the chief intercessor of the church, praying that our faith does not fail. He's praying because he knows the work that he's already accomplished is a sure foundation for you to go out and do anything that he's called you to do. So he's not asking you to build the infrastructure. He's simply asking you to believe that that infrastructure is going to result in a better future for your life. He's asking you to realize that it feels like you're standing out on nothing, but you're actually standing out on the finished work of Christ. You're actually standing on the fact that he lived, died, but he didn't stay dead. He rose again, but he didn't just rise to rise. The Bible says he rose with all power in his hands. That means that now that anybody that would become the sons of God, he gave them the same power to tread upon scorpions and serpents, and power over all the power of the enemy. That means that no matter what's coming at you in the future, all it's going to do is result in the momentum behind you, because no weapon formed against you can truly prosper. Am I talking to anybody in this room? You got to get to the place now in this new century that we're living in, because information is coming so fast that your reaction time to the things of God shift into a place of acceleration, that you're no longer doubting if God can do a thing. But every time you step into a new place and take new territory and take new ground, your declaration is, my God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that I ask or think. You're no longer confused about what God can do. You already know that he's able, and you figure it out. It's just a matter of time until your God shows up. So you're patient, knowing that patience is having its perfect work in you. Am I preaching to anybody in this room? And that you're whole and complete, and you know how to wait upon the Lord. And while you're between where you are and where God wants you to be, you're blessing him at all times, and praise is continually being in your mouth. I wish I had 10 folk in the room this morning that said, I'm going to get there. It's just a matter of time. But in the meantime, I'm going to give God glory. I'm going to bless his name. In the meantime, while I'm waiting for my breakthrough, I'm talking to somebody here. I'm going to lift up holy hands. I wish I had a church in here. Purpose, purpose, purpose. The prophet feels the need to remind the people of a higher purpose. They aren't merely, if you will, constructing some building, but they are building their legacy. Zechariah delivers 4 messages, if you will, in response to the people's question. First message is that he rebukes the people for performing empty rituals. Look at your neighbor and say, don't let your ritual be empty. In other words, the Bible encourages us not to forsake the assemblies of ourselves as some are in the habit of doing. Go and nudge them again and say, we got to get back to church. Oh God, I'm not talking about getting up on Sunday morning and coming to some building, but I'm talking about getting back to the purpose and the foundation of the church. I'm talking about being the organism where the gates of hell cannot prevail against it, and that whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I'm talking about understanding the power of your decreed word as you decree the debar of God, the word of Lord, and as you echo his voice in this earth and be the vehicle, if you will, for his glory. I'm talking about going into atmospheres and changing the complete atmosphere, because darkness cannot comprehend the light. Look at your neighbor and say, he's not talking about doing church, he's talking about
being the church. Y'all not in here with me. When we come in here this morning, we're coming collectively to get our marching orders so that we can go out there and actually be the church. This is just a stopover. Y'all ain't said nothing to your assignment for the rest of the week. And so he rebukes the people, if you will, for their empty rituals. God, all throughout scripture, tells Israel, I don't want your empty worship. I'm not after this for your sacrifice. I didn't do all of this so that you can get dressed up and come in here on Sunday morning. I didn't save you, pull you out of the muck and mire, set your feet upon a rock. I didn't give you the testimony that you have to sit inside four walls and clap your hands and be happy all by yourself. I did that that somebody may know that God still reigns. I did that so somebody can understand that he's still a wonder. I did that so somebody comes to the discovery of what God can do in the life of a human being. Am I talking to anybody in this room? When's the last time you shared your story? And when's the last time you got a new version of what God has done? Slap your name and say, God's about to update your profile. He's about to give you a new testimony. He's about to do new miracles, signs, and wonders in your life. I'm preaching to y'all up in here. He's about to totally revolutionize what you have been doing. Slap your neighbor and say, I'm ready, I'm ready. Give me a new version. Give me another chapter, for he is the author and finisher of your faith. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, preacher is preaching to me. He's preaching to me. Look at your high five is broke this morning. Like, that's five high fives, pastor. God's about to update your profile. He's about to give you another chapter in your life. He's about to give you a new testimony, because that's the only way we overcome. He's always have to be working in your life. For the Bible says we overcome our adversary by the blood of the Lamb, dual purpose, and by the word of our testimony. Look at your neighbor and say, stop sitting on your story. God, I'm preaching way better than y'all shouting. That's why you serve God from a place of memory and not from a place of imagination. That's why you're stuck where you are. You got to release yourself from your empty ritual. Coming to church ain't gonna save you, boo. Y'all ain't said nothing. Sitting in that pew ain't gonna get it done. What's gonna get it done is when you take the information and act on it. For faith without works, my God, I feel like preaching, is dead. Slap your name and say, I got to move. I got to act. I got to start my business. I got to go back to school. I got to learn how to invest. I got to do something. I got to let that go and move on with my life. Slap your name and say, I got to act. I got to act. I got to act. God, I got to act. Okay, hold on. I'm sorry. Give me a second. I got to talk to myself. You are preaching. Sorry. Get back on. I'm out of my body right now. He says, first, lose your empty rituals. Second, when you lose your empty rituals, you will be reminded of your past disobedience. You will remember the days and the years where you didn't trust God. And you failed to open your faith eyes and didn't see God working and moving. So you stayed where you were when God was calling you to a higher thing. Look at your name and say, thank you for his grace. Thank you for his grace. He says, I want to remind you that when you lose your empty rituals, the next thing is going to happen is you're going to be reminded of your past disobedience. But you're also going to be reminded that the God that we serve is omniscient. He's a God that while he can forget, if you will, everything you've done wrong, he can also remember everything you have done. Y'all ain't said nothing. That means he chooses to select what is going to happen in your life story by disregarding the mistake you made not to trust him the first time. I wish I had somebody in here. Look at your neighbor and say, I got to look again. I got to look again. And God gives you the opportunity to open up your eyes for the second time in the third time and the fourth time and the fifth time and the sixth time and the seventh time. Look at your neighbor and say, thank you, God, for many chances. I wish I had a church in here. you believe that you're the only person in this room that ain't made some mistakes and ain't missed God at some moments in your life, then you are fooling yourself. Look at your name and say, fix your halo. It's crooked on your horn. For all of us have fell short of the glory of God. All of us have missed opportunities to trust the Lord. And I came to prophetically declare to you, those opportunities are showing back up in your life. But you got to get your eyes open. For we walk by faith and not by sight. The third thing, hurry up, Phillips, come on. The third thing he speaks is about the restoration. And he points, if you will, to the recovery of their joy. He says, look, when you lose your empty rituals, you will be reminded, secondly, of your past disobedience. But third, in that moment, you'll also be reminded that God wants to recover your joy. Look at your neighbor and say, there's about to be a complete and total recovery of your joy. Joy, unspeakable joy. Happy and don't even know why. With the ability to think yourself happy. Oh God, I felt that anointing. Happy when you should be sad. Happy when you should be defeated. Happy when you should be oppressed. Y'all, I wish I had somebody here. Slap your name and say, I'm about to be happy for no reason. Not because he did something, but because I'm just expecting all the time. Y'all sit down. Let me get this thing done. And so he says, now I want to talk about the restoration of Israel and everything that God is going to restore. And I'm going to restore it by recovering your joy. And so first, I want you to lose your empty ritual. Second, I want you to be reminded of what you have disobeyed God for in the past. Third, I want you to understand that God is going to recover your joy. And when he recovers your joy, he's going to restore all things unto you. Look at your neighbor and say, get ready for an accelerated future. And so now God gives Zechariah, if you will, this vision. And the visions that he gives him are eight all in one night. And the reason that he gives Zechariah eight visions in one night is because the people have a problem looking into their future. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to look again. And so he says, I'm going to give you a vision of the horses. And in the vision of the horses, I want you to understand that the Lord is going to comfort Zion. And then he says, I'm going to give you the visions of the horns. And when I give you the visions of the horns, I'm going to raise my eyes and look, and you're going to see four horns. Everything was four. And you're going to see four horns. And the horns are going to be the thing that scatters Judah and Israel and Jerusalem. And the Lord is going to show you out of those horns four craftsmen. Because even though you're going to be scattered, I'm going to send craftsmen that have the ability and the capacity to put everything back together. Again, who am I talking to in here? God is about to send you people of wisdom and people of craftsmanship to get the ability and the capability of putting your vision together, of putting your purpose together. I feel like I'm preaching to somebody and y'all not shouting in here. And I says, now also I'm going to give you the vision of the measuring line. And when I give you the vision of the measuring line, I have to cause you to understand that your future joy is not just for you. In other words, I'm going to give you a metric of how this thing is going to extend into the life of others. Because when I restore all things unto you, and when I move you into this accelerated dimension of your future, it's not just for you, but it's for many nations. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm about to bless many nations. God, the purpose of God in the life of Israel was that he wanted them to be his own chosen people so that they can be a distinction apart from all all of the other nations of the world. And when people saw Israel, they would see the Lord and they would look at them and say, how did you come to such great power? How did God bless you in the city and in the field? And when you came and when you went and in your storehouse and in your basket, how did you become a lender and not a borrower? And it was Israel's job to say, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Slap your name and say, what happens next is all God. Come on here. And it's not just for me, but it's for other nations. It's for folk from many different walks of life. It's for individuals in my community. It's for folk on my job. Who am I preaching to in here? Then he gives him the vision of the high priest, because he has to let him know that this thing has to come from a place of an alignment. In other words, if we're going to build what God wants built, you have to have an alignment and a strategic partnership, not just with business, but also with government. You have to have this alignment because it can't get done all by itself in silos, meaning that business community can't do it by themselves. And the government certainly cannot do it by themselves. If this election is any indicator of the best we have to offer, you better understand that government ain't gonna get it done by itself. For the Bible says, if you will, that the Lord has the capacity to remove kings and to set up kings. But what is missing, the secret sauce, what is missing from the day is the power of the church. Slap your neighbor and say, there's about to be an alignment like it's never been aligned before. You're not in here with me. I told you, I'm speaking prophetically. Then he begins to prophesy, if you will, about this coming branch that's going to be a thing that's going to cause all of this to come together. And he energizes the people with a vision of a better tomorrow. Oh God, Hezekiah had it right. Not the prophet, but the singer. Bishop Hezekiah Walker had it right when he says, it's got to get better. Slap your neighbor and say, my days are going to get better. You better prophesy your future. Come on, nudge them and shake their hand. Make sure they got a pulse and say, better days are truly ahead. Who am I preaching to in here? You better prophesy your own future and say, weeping may endure for a night, but baby, I think it's time for the morning to show up in my life. And my days are about to get better. He then gives another vision, and he has the vision. I'm on the fifth vision now. He has the vision of the lampstand and the olive tree, because the alignment is great, but without the anointing, it doesn't matter. Look at your neighbor and say, I also need the anointing, because it is the anointing that destroys the yoke. And when he gives the vision of the lampstand and the olive tree, he says, I'm going to give you this stand, but I'm going to give you, watch me now, a perpetual harvest of the ability to have an anointing and a place to put that anointing. Could it be that your life is about to be so anointed that the oil never runs out? Who am I preaching to in here? Could it be that your praise gets such a place where it's always on your lips? Could it be that your money stops acting funny and it gets to the place that it never runs out? Who am I talking to in here? Slap your name and say, I'm anointed to prosper. I'm anointed to praise. I feel an anointing in here. Look at your name and say, this is my new season. This is my new normal. And I ain't ever going back. God, I feel an anointing in here. Can I get 10 folk to shout real quick and declare, I ain't ever going back. All right, He says, I got to give you this anointing, because this anointing will be your moniker. It will be your nickname. It will be what you tell people, because they will not be able to define you. They will not be able to measure you. They will not be able to calculate you. They will not be able to define you in their little narrow framework, because you're going to look at them and say, not by power nor by might, but by the Spirit of the living God. They're going to say, how did you get promoted? And you're going to say, not by power nor by might, but by the Spirit of the living God. How did your son get set free? Not by power nor by might, but by the Spirit of the living God. How did you get that property? Not by power nor by might, but by the Spirit of the living God. How did you get that platform? Not by power, nor by might, but by the Spirit. You better hear what I'm saying, of the living God. Let it get deep down in your spirit. How did you get healed so quickly? Not by power, nor by might, but by the Spirit of the living God. Woo! Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God. Zechariah looked at Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel was the governor of the day, and he was trying to get something done through the government to rebuild the temple, and he had to go to Zerubbabel and say, Zerubbabel, it ain't going to get done through your tax incremental finance. It ain't going to get done through your bond issue. It's going to get done by the Spirit of the living God. The world is looking for answers, and I'm trying to tell you the answers are not coming from the place they're looking. It's going to come by the Spirit of the living God. Some trust in horses, others trust in chariots, but as for me, I put my trust in the name of the living God. God is not finished doing miracles, signs, and God, I'm preaching it here. Miracles, signs, and wonders. One more time. Not by power, nor by might, but by the Spirit of the living God. The sixth vision for them is the vision of a flying scroll. And he gives them this vision of the scroll flying. He turned his eyes and he saw the scroll flying in the air. And the Lord said to him, what do you see? And I said, I see this flying scroll. I know it sounds crazy, but I'm putting it all in context. In other words, I see. I see laws trying to pass. I see government trying to do stuff. I'm preaching better than y'all shining. I see them trying to stop a movement. I see them trying to stop a system from shifting and changing. And he says, don't worry about it, because it's going to enter into the house of the thief. Y'all ain't said nothing. That means everything that's been written up against you, that's being thrown in the atmosphere, is going to find itself in the house of the thief. I wish I had somebody to talk to. Meaning nothing is going to stop your future, and nothing's going to stop the network that God is building around you. God, I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. It used to be that you had to go, if you will, to hit your head against the wall. And it used to be that you needed God to do a miracle to make the wall fall down flat. But you're about to come to the place where you look at the wall and just leap over it. I wish I had somebody. It was David who said, I feel like I can leap over a wall. Because when your faith eyes open, you no longer see the obstacles in front of you. It's not even there. Slap your name and say, get ready to jump. Y'all ain't said nothing, because when you look at it this time, you're going to have a different perspective. You're not going to measure how high it is or how thick it is, because it's not even there. Okay, I'm sorry. Go. Time out. You are preaching. I gotta tell myself, because y'all acting like I ain't saying nothing. The next vision is the vision of the basket, that God is gonna put it all into place. And he sees a woman in a basket. And he says, lift up your eyes. And what is this that goeth forth? And what is happening? Why is this thing all in the basket? And he says, this is their resemblance throughout all of the earth. Here is the lead disc lifted up, and this is a woman sitting inside of the basket. Glory to God. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. And he shouted, this is wickedness. And he thrust her down into the basket, and he threw the lead cover over its mouth. And then he raised his eyes up and looked again, and it wasn't just one, there were two women coming with the wing. wind in their wings. One woman was in the basket, meaning God was about to take away all of the wickedness around the people that was stopping them from being seen as the answer. You don't hear what I'm saying. I'm speaking prophetically, and you don't even understand. If you don't realize, if you don't get that the forces of darkness are arrayed against your purpose and is trying to derail everything God is trying to do in your life, then I got some good gospel news for you. The devil don't like you, but what he meant for evil, God is about to. Turn it around for your good. Last one. Final picture. As he gives them a vision. Final picture. He gives them a vision of four chariots. And he says, I don't have time to touch on all of these. He gives them the vision of four chariots. And he says, these four chariots are my fourfold spirit. And they're coming into the earth. And they're coming to accelerate everything you have saw. And the reason that they are coming is because the people have chosen not to look again. Because when they looked the first time, if you will, it didn't come fast enough. And when they tried the first time, it didn't happen like they wanted it to happen. I'm preaching way better than y'all shot it. And so he says, I'm going to give you these visions to capture your imagination, to let you know what I have been working on and what I have purposed to build is going to get done. Whenever God is about to do some phenomenal things in your life, he always sends it in the realm of vision and purpose, and he connects it to a prophetic voice that can drive home a picture for you that God is not absolutely done, but he is absolutely about to finish what he started, and he's going to use you to do it. And so in the final vision, these fourfold spirits are coming, and they're coming strong, and they're going to walk throughout all of the earth, not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And he then says, I want you to understand what's going to happen. There has to be an alignment with prophet, priest, and king. And says, he says, the word of the Lord comes to him and says, I want you to receive these gifts. And I want you to come and crown Joshua. Look at your name and say, the king, the king, the king, the king. And then all of a sudden, what I want you to do is I want you to go, if you will, into the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah. And I want you to take the silver and gold and make this elaborate crown, set it on the head of Joshua, and then I also want you to go and get Jehoshadak the high priest and bring them in the room, and then I want you to go and gather all the people, and I want you to tell the people, behold, the man whose name is the branch, he is going to come, if you will, and he shall branch out. Slap your name and say, it's all aligned now. Come on here, prophet, priest, king, and now the people have to get the vision. What I've been trying to paint for you, and I know it might be difficult for you to keep up with me right now, but what I've been trying to paint for you is a picture of better days. And what I've been trying to convey to you is a message that God is about to cause your better days to emerge from the most unlikely place, meaning it's not coming from where you think it should come from, because it requires your faith eyes to open, and it requires a different perspective. It does not happen the way you want it to happen. That's why God sends the prophetic voice, because the prophetic voice has the ability to see things different than the way the world sees it. Look at your neighbor and say, look again. Come on here. Look again. You've been looking at problems, but can I tell you, you are not in a problem, but rather on the outside of a promise. You've been looking at circumstance, but you're not in the middle of a circumstance. You're in the middle of a covenant. You've been looking at the lack of your resources, but that's the wrong thing to look at, because if you just have a little bit of meal, God can make sure when you put it in the hands of the prophetic that it never runs out. You might only have two pieces of fish and five loaves of bread, but when you put it in the hands of the prophetic, it can exponentially grow to the place of being able to bless thousands of individuals. Slap your name and say, I gotta put it in the hands of the prophetic. Y'all gonna help me preach up in here. Come on, I'm coming to my close. Look at your name and say, it all happens at the branch. Come on here. Ah, God, when you connect it to the prophetic, what's the prophetic? The word of the living God. And I'm telling you, you got to connect your future to the word of the living God. No, y'all ain't gonna shout me down and y'all ain't gonna sit me down. Come on, slap your neighbor a high five. Shake their hand like you're about to shake it off. Y'all help me with that organ. Shake their hand like they're about to shake it off and say, I gotta put it in the hands of the word. Because when I put it in the word cannot return unto me void, but it must accomplish what it was sent to do and prosper in the thing that the word sent it to. Slap your neighbor one more time and say, neighbor, put it in the hands of the word. Because if you get the word on it, it can exponentially grow your situation. You could have an issue for 12 years, but when you touch the word of the living God, at that very moment, you can be healed. Slap your neighbor one more time and say, I gotta put it in the hands of the word. If I can get the word on it, it's not by power nor by might, but by the spirit of the living God. I wish I had 10 folk in the room that said, I'm about to put a word on it. And when I put a word on it, I'm going to back it up with a praise. Slap somebody a high five and say, my miracle's in this room, but I got to put a praise on it. If you believe that this morning, lift your voice, throw your head back, and shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody standing on your feet all over the world. He said to them, standing on your feet all over the world. He said to them, this branch is going to cause things to branch out. Oh God, I wish y'all get halfway anointed. Come on, shake that neighbor hand like you're about to shake it off and say, get ready to branch out. Come on, prophesy to them. Get ready to take new territory. Get ready to go where people said you couldn't go. Get ready to do what folks said you couldn't do. God, I feel like preaching it here. Shake their hand like you're about to shake it off and say, I'm branching out. I'm branching out. Oh, God. And when I branch out, I'm going to build up the old waste places. I'm going to be a structure for many generations. I'm going to be a repairer of the breach, a restorer of path to dwell in. Slap them one more time and say, neighbor, get ready to bear the glory of the Lord. My God, I feel an anointing in here. One more time. Get ready to bear the glory of the Lord. Get ready. If you didn't get nothing out of that message, just get these 3 points. I'm about to branch out. I'm about to build up. I'm about to bear the glory. I'm going to leave you with this. Stop being so busy trying to figure out who likes you. And worry about if God can trust you. When you bear the glory, it means God can trust you. When God can put the glory on you, because the glory is weighty. That's what it means. Weightiness. Heaviness. And when God decides that he's found a group that can look again. 8 visions in one night. Why did God give the prophet 8 visions in one night? Because every message that he gave the people, they just didn't see it.
every message, from the four horns to the flying scroll to the, I know all that sound weird and crazy to y'all. I get it. But they were just one priority and one purpose, that God is going to finish what he started. The thing is, he's going to use you to do it. That was Zechariah's message. Now, could I came out here and said that? Yeah, but you wouldn't have got it the first time. I had to give you all the buttery touch your neighbor stuff. God is going to finish. You are his workmanship. Come on. I was reading a science magazine. Y'all know I get geeky sometimes, because I truly believe all allergies come from theology. So whether it's oncology, philosophy, psychology, they all come from theology. They couldn't come from anywhere else because he made the earth. And so the stuff you're studying came from him. So if you're in school, all your ology come from theology, boo. And so I was reading scientific magazine, and they were talking about our DNA. And they were talking about mapping out our DNA, and they were talking about if they could take our DNA and pull it out in real time, it would stretch from the earth to the moon 15 times. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. And the stuff you made of could go from the moon and back 15 times. So don't tell me God can't use you to do a thing. Oh God, I'm preaching to somebody. So your past doesn't matter. Your mistakes don't matter. The stuff you're made of, it's all God. Put that feather in your cap. While you sitting there feeling sorry for yourself and being down on yourself and blaming everybody. What God has started, he's going to finish with you. Yes, little old you, messed up you, jacked up you, confused you. Yes. That's what God does. He just needs you to look again. Just look again and see your Creator. See him moving in your life. See him shaping your future. See him out ahead of you, making the crooked places straight. I pray today that you receive this word and you choose to look one more time. I pray that somebody decides to try again. I pray that somebody says, I'm not quitting anymore. I pray that you see the value in your life and you declare, I shall live and not die, but declare the works of the Lord. I pray you give it one more shot. I pray you look at God and say, I'm going to try you. I don't know about all that, but I'm going to try you. I don't know what that preacher talking about, some flying scrolls. He was all out the place, but I'm going to give it a shot. Some young person, give it a shot. See what God can do. See what he can do. He doesn't care about what we're doing right now and but he cares about you. He doesn't care if we have lights or screens or the latest, greatest music, or that's us. He just set this up just to get to you. He called us together just to have a place to constantly get to you. That's why he birthed a church, so he can have a vehicle to get to you. That's all this is for. So if you're here today and you know you need to look again, you need to try, you need to see if this connection to God can work, I pray this morning you make that choice and you make that decision. Come on, lift those hands all over the room. Father, I thank you for every person, every heart, every mind. I thank you for every life. Father, I thank you that they choose to look one more time. You're trying to paint a big picture, and sometimes it's confusing as to what's happening or what you're doing. But open our hearts, our minds, our faith eyes. Open the eyes of our heart this morning to see you're only working for our good. All of your interest in our life is a good thing. You want nothing but to bless us. Nothing but to love us. And we to love you. And so, Father, this morning, for the heart that's far from you, I pray you connect it back to that branch. I pray that they branch out and trust you. They take a step of faith and believe you. For the heart that's weary and heavy, I pray they look again and see that all things work together for their good. For the heart that's confused, I pray that they realize that you're not the author of confusion. That's the enemy at work. And that you will settle all things. That your peace is going to come. Transcend their understanding, guard their heart and minds. I pray for those that have chosen not to call you Lord. Choose this morning to name you as Savior. Right there in their seat. And if you don't know the Lord as your Lord and Savior, right there, just open your mouth and say, Father, come into my heart. He'll do it right now. He'll do it right now. Right now, right now, right now. Come on, pray that prayer right now. He'll do it. He'll do it. He'll change your life forever. Make you a new creation. Old things pass away. All things made new. I pray you receive that this morning in Jesus' name. Come on, if God bless you, give him praise right now. Come on, give him praise right now. Look at your name and say, I'm going to look again, baby. God bless you. Come on, lift your hands. Receive the blessing of the Lord. I pray you were blessed this morning. I pray God touched your heart and your mind. May God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you, give you peace. May he surround you with his favor as with his shield. May his angels encamp themselves round about you. May his blood cover you from now to eternity. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. God bless you. We love you. If you want to come say hello, I'll be down here.